We're actually building leads. We're building like a funnel. It's not just social for the sake of social, but actually building something grander. So that's why I think we're quite different. And what I love about the work that we do is that it's really in partnership with the client. And especially if you have your kind of clients, I can't be a consultant for them. You know, as much as I would love to be you, I can't be you. But what I can be is I can be a trusted advisor and we can do all the grunt work. But you need to show up. You need to talk about what you're doing. You need to be in the ring. And so we think of ourselves as social media partners, and we're partners in helping you build your business. And that's why so many of our retainer clients have been with us from the beginning, is because we've seen them grow and we've been part of it with them. And that's just been the greatest gift.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get the best advice on how to launch and grow a sustainable and scalable coaching or consulting business after leaving corporate. And one of the necessary evils or pleasures, depending on how you look at it, of growing a successful, sustainable coaching or consulting practice is social media. So how do you make the most out of the social media followers you have? How do you take those social media followers and convert them into paying clients? That is the topic of our conversation today. And our expert guest is Christina Bartold. She is the CEO of The Social Snippet, a social media and podcasting agency focused on helping entrepreneurs build their digital communities, which is so intriguing to me. So welcome, Christina. Welcome to Life After Corporate.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and chatting with you today.
We are excited to have you. And as we ask all of our guests, do you have a Life After Corporate story? Were you ever in corporate before you decide to launch your business? Tell us about it.
Yeah. So corporate, I worked at a university. So not quite as corporate as some folks, but I did work at a university. And actually, it's interesting that what I left the university originally to do was leadership coaching. I have a master's in leadership and a master's in conflict resolution. So I have a huge heart for people who are trying to better others and work and really pour into other people. And so I did that for a few years. And then while I was doing that, I was building really my client base on LinkedIn, Instagram, on social media. And people were loving what me and my VA were doing. And that's actually how we started The Social Snippet. People were so excited about what I was doing in the coaching space. So we started offering social media services, both consulting and then done for you eventually. And then now we're kind of a full tilt agency where we help entrepreneurs and businesses be able to share their messages.
And you must be doing something right because you've been super successful. You are not a one woman shop. You have a very successful agency. And so I'm so thrilled to learn from you today. And I'm sure our listeners are too. We talked before we hit record about how people are kind of missing the mark on their social media strategy, and they're thinking of it as content and followers, as opposed to building communities of people that eventually convert into clients. Tell us more about what you mean by that and how we can transition from people who struggle with coming up with content to post and feel like we have to be posting every day, to what is the right way to really use the social media platforms as a conduit to build relationships with people who are our future clients who just don't know it yet.
Yeah, and that's actually really the real of it, is that people get on social media and they're so overwhelmed by, you know, the follower count, what other people are doing. We're like obsessed with our branding and all of these things. But what actually matters is our message and our community. And so what I always tell the folks that we work with and that I have the opportunity to both coach and kind of pour into is that really is not about the follower count, because I know people who have 50,000 followers who wouldn't be able to sell a t-shirt, like if they tried. And I know people who have communities of 500 LinkedIn connections that anything that they post has tons of love and always sells out. And so the difference of that is actually pouring into your existing community and building those relationships and bringing the right audience into your kind of community so that this way that you can kind of nourish that community and help grow it so that you're bringing in the right type of client as well and that you're bringing in clients that you're really excited about working with. I also, something I would be remiss if I don't mention is that you don't need to be on every platform. And I think that's something too that especially entrepreneurs and when you're like leaving corporate and maybe you're not as familiar with the online space, you hear someone made it big on TikTok. You're like, I need to be on TikTok. And you hear someone, you know, has a really good Facebook group. You're like, I need a Facebook group. I need to be on Pinterest. I need to be growing this. All of these things are long games. So what I recommend is really finding the platform that you love being on, that you love pouring into your community on, that you love showing up on consistently, and really leaning there and then worrying about repurposing later. Because I think once you have a really solid first foundation community, it's easier to branch.
So that begs the question, and I love that you said, you know, you don't have to be on all the platforms and, you know, you need to just be on the platforms where your ideal clients or potential clients are hanging out. But what I'm intrigued by is how you use the term build a community, because for me and most of my clients, our primary platform is LinkedIn. Secondary platform is usually Instagram. Most people are off Facebook these days, although some people still have Facebook groups and they love them, they hate them, and all of that stuff. But it was easy to understand how to build a community on Facebook. How do you build a community on platforms like LinkedIn and Instagram?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is building know, like, and trust. And so that comes like easily with just showing up consistently. On LinkedIn, I think there's lots of options for that. People love LinkedIn updates. I was actually on another podcast today, and I was talking about how I consistently, like if I travel, if I do something cool, I'll post an update just saying this is something I'm doing. And people are so excited to see it and be a part of it. On the Instagram platform, a tool that I think is exceptional for building community is stories, right? Showing up consistently, talking about what you're up to, really that social proof that you're selling and that you're actually a business that makes money. These are things that actually reinforce to people that you're someone that they want to invest in. So on LinkedIn, when we're talking about building community, I love LinkedIn for so many reasons. And I think it's because people on LinkedIn are very intentional. Like people are going on intentional to make or going on LinkedIn to make intentional relationships, to have those meaningful conversations. So what I would actually recommend people to do is that when you're making new connections, there's a few different ways you can do that. Like one is going and commenting on other people's posts, right? And people who might be ideal clients, I like to call that engagement. And that's where you're going and you're looking for those people who might be an ideal client and not being a shark about it, right? Where you know, we all get those LinkedIn requests. And I actually got a really funny one recently where I've been ignoring somebody for months because, you know, they're cold pitching me. And they said, Christina, I'm worried about your well-being. And I responded back and I was like, no need to worry about my well-being. I'm well-loved. And as you can see, I'm still posting. I'm not interested in this and I don't have the capacity to be responding to both yes. But I think that person would have been a lot more successful because that's a service that they're selling that I actually need, would have been a lot more successful if they had nourished the relationship a little bit. What that looks like is, you know, commenting on some of my things, maybe finding a mutual connection to introduce us. Some of those little things make a big difference. And then trying to funnel people out of the platform. So whether that be into a Facebook group that you own and that you cultivate. I know some people do LinkedIn newsletters. That's a great way to kind of build that authority, getting people in an email list. So you're actually taking these people right off of platforms that they're really familiar with and that they're on all the time and bringing them into your world and your platform where you get to connect with them one-on-one. That's really what I mean about a community is that when I say community, I'm not like synonymizing it with email list. Like I don't mean that. So what I actually mean is like, who are those people that are going to buy everything that you sell? And they're the people who are going to bring your name up in a room where you're not there. And to create those, building that know, like, and trust is really important and showing that authority that you're a business that's doing big things.
You know, years ago, I think that's so important. So that community is really people who you're having a two-way conversation with on social media, but that conversation could be in comments to a post or it could be in the direct message feed. It could be that they're so engaged with your content that they're actually following you on other platforms, whether that's joining your email list or other things. And there's lots of great tools to do that on LinkedIn, like newsletters. What are some of the mistakes that you're seeing people make on LinkedIn? Because I think it's really helpful for people to understand and identify what they're doing wrong.
Yeah. A few big, well, one is the obvious cold DM, right? It's the just messaging people and trying to, you know, get followers or sorry, get connections on LinkedIn. There's no problem with DMing someone you don't know. That's totally fine. But when you're doing that, like messaging someone and telling them like what you love about their profile or why you think you two should be connected, right? So if I was like, hey, Deb, I'm seeing you on LinkedIn. I love your podcast. I listened to an episode. Here's actually what resonated. Deb's going to be so much more likely to hit yeah for sure on the connect than if I message saying, hey, Deb, not sure if you have a podcasting solution, but I don't know if you know this, but I offer podcasting, right? Like that's not the right approach. So being able to build that genuine relationship where you're not actually in it for the sale right away, like people need to see things more than once before buying them, right? So what that's one of the things. And then I actually love doing an opportunity if you can where you get to connect with someone on LinkedIn and you send them a voice memo or you send them a note. It's very personal to them. And then you invite them, you give them your calendar link for a half an hour connection call. And in that connection call, there's no pitching. There's no, hey, I like, you know, I'm like, again, I offer podcasting solutions. It's like, this is what I do. I'd love to connect with you and see how I can pour into your business. And you're providing value, free value, because when people see amazing free value, they wonder what it's going to be like. That's how I've gotten all of my coaching clients has been like one-on-one connections. And then people see that I provide a lot of value in terms of social media. And then they're like, oh, okay, that like is a no-brainer that I'm going to pay for this. The other thing that I see people do a lot, and this actually goes across for all platforms, but it is a lot on LinkedIn especially, is this idea of like posting and ghosting. And this is where you just like post, you're consistently, maybe you're scheduling something every day. I know somebody who like schedules an AI post like every single day, and they're not actually engaging with people. People want to engage back and forth. So it's not just about like, oh, you're posting something that's of value. What makes us love people so much is that we get to see their personality when we're conversing with them. So an example of this like that I think is awesome is Jenna Kutcher. Jenna Kutcher does a great job posting across all her platforms. So she posts, I commented on something she posted. She probably her team responded back to me, right? So that is really big, but then also commenting on other people who might have your ideal client as their connections. So, right, I'm a podcasting and social media agency. If I was looking for podcasting clients, I would maybe go and start commenting on people's podcasting posts. And I don't need to say, oh, this is a great post. By the way, I have a podcasting agency. I just have to say, hey, this is a great post and here's what I like about it, or here's my thought. Or best, I get to show myself up as a thought leader and be able to provide really high value in a comment. That might get some comments or that might spark some conversation. So those are the two big things that I think are huge on social that people do there. I think there's a missed opportunity, which is both the connecting and then the ongoing relationship that they get to cultivate their communities.
Yeah, there's so much that I want to unpack here. I'm sitting here taking notes. So first of all, the one thing I wanted to talk about is a number of touches. So people don't understand, you know, I think the people I talk to think that everyone who follows you is going to see everything you post, or everyone you email is going to read every email. And it's just simply not true. And it used to be, I remember going to a Tony Robbins seminar in 2016. So it was quite some time ago. And the speaker was a marketing expert. And he said, you know, people need 14 touches with you before they make a decision to buy. And last week, I heard a new statistic from, I think it was from Kelly Roach, that said you need 20 to 40 experiences with you and your content before they decide to take the next action. And it makes sense, right? Because the channel is super crowded right now. There's so many more people and exponentially so much more content. And the other thing I wanted to comment on is, you know, this, what I called slow marketing, right? So the beginning of the year, we said, this is the year of slow marketing. This is the year of actually building relationships with people. And it's not about spamming the DMs. No one likes that. No one likes to be link smacked, you know. And yes, you know, getting into those authentic conversations. And literally, you said something that I experienced for the first time in a very long time this week, and that was cold conversations. You have a fairly big business. I have a fairly big business. And I was surprised at having to do call conversations again. You know, of the whole get to know you kind of vibe. And I guess for me, it was a getting over the I'm beyond that. So that was kind of a little bit of a mindset shift. I don't have all day to have cold conversations with people to get to know me. In fact, I like leverage. So that's why we do so many training events, so many roundtables and things like that. So we can get many people in the room at once and do a one-to-many get to know you.
Yeah.
But you actually advocate one-on-one cold conversations.
Yeah, I do. And it's because I actually think that there's so much power in the relationship that comes from it. And I think it's really about, like, I would say that that's my number one referral source is jumping on a coffee chat, from coffee chats with folks. And I'll always offer, if someone DMs me and you know, it doesn't feel misaligned, I think there's some kind of opportunity, I'll offer my calendar. And I'll say, here's half an hour if you'd like to connect. And when I started, actually, like, I just maybe for the folks who are just getting started, what I actually did at the beginning was I would offer half an hour free coaching calls. And I would never pitch in them. You would never. And I remember actually one of the ones I did, the woman at the end was like, hey, you're like, we're out of time. Can you give me the pitch? And I was like, oh, I'm not going to give you the pitch. And she was like, you want to send it to me? And I was like, I can, but I'm not going to unless you ask me for it. Because I think the relationship capital is so much more important than any money I'm going to make today. So pouring into those folks over time where, you know, you do these calls a couple times a year with this person, you connect with them, you ask them, like, what do you need in your business right now? What are you looking for right now? What's most helpful to you? And if Deb, say you and I are connecting, because we kind of did a cold-ish call.
We did.
Before this, right? And decided to do a podcast swap. But if you and I had gone on the call and you were like, hey, my goal is actually to be on 50 podcasts this year, I'd be like, no brainer. I'm a podcasting agency. Let me get you on the podcast. Like, I would love to make those introductions for you. And I would love to open those doors. And that's actually been the key to us growing our business and hitting multiple six figures in the first year. It was because I was willing to do anything anyone needed and extend my network out to people, you know, within reason, but extend my network out to people and make those connections and build those relationships for people, even if it was a cold connection, because they warm with time. So I think there's such a difference between the cold, like, hey, I'm here and I offer a podcasting solution, and the like, hey, I'm here and I'd love to just get to know you and see if anything comes. And sometimes nothing comes. And okay with that, and having the conversation and being like, I'm never going to talk to that person again, that wasn't a good conversation. But I would say 9 times out of 10, I have great conversations with people that actually usually lead to something.
Yeah. Well, you piqued my interest. I want to see how I can get off 50 podcasts. We'll have a different conversation when it's over. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, you mentioned commenting on other people's posts, like in your category. And this is a behavioral etiquette question. Is it wrong to scoop other people's audiences? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, it's like a moral conversation. You know what? I think that the truth is that everyone's building their audience. And in my personal opinion is that there's enough room for everybody, right? So some of my closest friends are other agency owners, podcasting agency, social media agency, all of that. And I don't go on their audiences and then engage with their audience. That's not really my way. But I think about, you know, who would my ideal client follow? That's more my approach. So I would say, like, my ideal client loves Jenna Kutcher. Like, they love Jenna Kutcher. They like Chris Harder. They like Lori Harder. So I might engage with their audiences because someone might not be ready to be coached by Lori Harder. I don't think she coaches, but they might not be ready to be coached by Lori Harder, but they might have the investment level to be coached by me if we're aligned, right? So being able to think about it that way of, like, you're just providing a service. Like, I don't know if I would use the word scooping, because I think it, people have such an opportunity for choice. And I bet every single one of your clients, Deb, there's another person that does what they do, but just doesn't do it like them. And so people are going to make choices where there's been times where I followed someone and I'm like, I love what they do. I absolutely do not want to work with that. I'm not aligned for that. And then someone else will follow me and I'm like, oh, okay, that might be more my interest. I like their vibe more, or I feel more connected. So no, I don't think it's wrong. And I also think, like, truthfully, like, that's where you're going to find your, like, the lookalike audience. But what's better than engaging with their material is collaborating with those people. So getting on podcasts, like trying to, you know, swap podcasts, getting on Instagram lives, doing a LinkedIn live, doing a live podcast, like things like that where you can get together and you can actually just borrow each other's audiences. That is actually the most impactful. And thinking of it more like that than thinking of it more like, oh, I'm going to try to steal Deb's clients It's more like, hey, Deb's got an audience that I respect so much, and she's done the work. And I would love to see if there's something I can pour into her audience to see if they'd be interested in collaborating with me at all.
And hence, we're swapping podcasts into you. And that came out of our cold connection. So that's great. Here's another question for you, because you mentioned the people that have their posts on auto, right? On autoplay. And I think that that actually hurts them in the long run, because I don't think LinkedIn and even Instagram really favor things that have been queued up and auto posted by those apps. Is that true in your experience?
Controversial. It's funny because a lot of these apps, yes, they will prefer and they reward people who are native in the app. So like when you're actually posting in the app, people want that. So Facebook wants that. You'll see things perform better if they're posted. There's a few apps that are collaborators with LinkedIn, or I'm sorry, with LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. One of them is Later. That's what I use for my clients. And I love that. And it's a great tool. I have no shame on auto posting. Like I auto post stuff all the time. But what I think it is, it's about strategy. So there's people who will auto post and they're just posting like 4 or 5 times a day. And they're just like putting stuff out there. It's not quality. And yes, quantity-wise sometimes does work. Like, you know, I think about Alex Hormozi. But as Alex Hormozi posts a reel, and I'm like, there was no purpose. You just took up 35 seconds of my life. But I still watch. And so it's like the omnipresence. He's like everywhere all the time. There's something to that if you can provide high value. So if you can provide high value, you're posting 3 or 4 times a day, I know it works. But I think it's more impactful for you to be posting 3 or 4 times a week across your platforms, and then showing up daily in stories or whatever that looks like to be able to be providing the value to your audience. So yeah, you can auto-publish. I would just use the apps if you can, like if you don't need to auto-publish. And now LinkedIn has its own scheduling tool, so you can actually schedule right on LinkedIn. But yeah, you can get penalized depending on the tool you use.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned omnipresence, because I've noticed that with a couple of people I follow too. And as someone who's somewhat of an introvert or who feels like I need to be prepared with something that I want to say, you did say, and they have something important to say, something worthwhile to say. But I am noticing that on Instagram as a powerful strategy of definitely coming on every day, a message of the day, or even a theme that you're communicating to, and then having a call to action. So let's talk about, we talked about anything you want to add to the whole omnipresence thing. And then let's also talk about calls to action. You know, how often do you post a CTA, and what should that CTA be?
Yeah. So the thing about calls to action is that they can get slimy fast. So you can get slimy like quickly, right? Where you're like, join my email list. Like, did you click the link in my bio? Jump in my story. Send me a DM, right? Like, always asking people for something, it feels like. And so what we want to be doing is providing such high value that we actually don't even need to ask, because these people are jumping over. So I like to do things like ask questions, or I've actually seen a lot of my mentors do things like drop a comment if you want my, you know, this is kind of old school, but you want my freebie. And then doing the DM thing. I know a lot of people use chatbots for stuff like that. So I do think calls to action are important. All your posts should also always evoke something. So it doesn't need to necessarily be a link in a bio click or something like that, but it should invoke some kind of a response. So save this if this resonates, share this with a friend, share this to your stories and let me know what you think. Don't forget to tag me. That's why things like giveaways are so popular, is because people want that level of engagement, like high engagement. So what I would say is, if you're doing a call to action, I would ask yourself how you're asking and what you're asking for, and would you respond to that call? But if a mentor of yours was like, hey, like DM me for this link, like, would you do it? Are you your ideal client? Who are? Because often we're serving past versions of ourselves, right? So for me, I'm not in a position where if someone's going to be like, hey, click the link in my bio. I love people who just add so much value that I end up I need it. So I'm like, oh, I need to go watch it. So I would say, yeah, use some call to action and see what works with your audience. So my audience doesn't do the link in bio thing. My audience just comments on the post. And then I have to do the effort of usually DMing them saying, hey, that was a great comment. And I usually set the little voice note letting them know that that was something I was thinking about, or I start the conversation. It usually turns into something great. So trying different things is the only way you're going to find out what your audience likes. And don't be upset or discouraged if you don't get a lot of engagement at the beginning. Often can happen, you'll post something that's a banger and you're so excited about it. And like, you put it out there and you put in all the work and, you know, you've recorded it 25 times and then it's like crickets. It's all data. So just using it as information about your next steps and how to continue to build your content online.
And whether people are commenting or not, everyone's watching.
Yeah.
So it does, even if you don't have the technical impressions and reactions and comments, people are watching and that your presence matters.
Something too is that even omnipresence, like it doesn't have to look like him real day, but you consistently showing up is reminding people that you're that keeps you top of mind for people. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you how many times there's been like a social media job that's come up somewhere and someone will tag me in it. And I'm like, I didn't even know you knew that that's what I did. But it's because they're seeing me on LinkedIn a few times a week. They're seeing me on Instagram every day. They're watching my stories, right? They're engaging with my material. So if that's the case, okay, great. Let's keep me top of mind so that when you might not have a buying decision today, but when you have a buying decision, I'm a no-brainer choice because you know I've built that authority with you. So even if you're not getting engagement, you're looking for just remembering that consistency, it's like building a muscle. It's going to take time and then you'll have the success.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something that was rolling around in my mind is social media is so important. It is one of the hardest roles to hire for. And because not all social media experts or agencies are created equal. So what makes Social Snippet different than other social media marketing consulting agencies?
For me, what I believe it is the fact that we focus on community, not followers. And I am such a big believer. I can't tell you 60 clients. So we've had clients come to us from other agencies. And everyone has worked with that they do work. And a lot of those agencies have lots of clients too. And they'll come to us and they'll say, oh, you know, I grew 10,000 followers. And I'm like, how many sales have you made? They're like, one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. Like, you're not in business to grow followers. You're in business to make money, right? Like to impact people, to change lives, like whatever your why is. But at the end of the day, you probably need to eat. So we need to make you some money. And so that's really important to me is that we're actually building like leads. We're building like a funnel. Like it's not just social for the sake of social, but actually building something grander. So that's why I think we're quite different. And what I love about the work that we do is that like it's really in partnership with the client. So, you know, and especially if you have like your kind of clients, right? I can't be a consultant for them. You know, as much as I would love to be you, I can't be you. But what I can be is I can be a trusted advisor and we can do all the grunt work. But you need to show up. You need to talk about what you're doing. You need to like be in the ring. And so we think of ourselves as social media partners. And we're partners in helping you build your business. And that's why like so many of our retainer clients have been with us from the beginning is because we've seen them grow and we've been part of it with them. And that's just been the greatest gift.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And how does the podcasting align with the social media community building? And I'm super curious about that because I've had a podcast for 3 years now.
Yeah. So for us, it was interesting. It was a secondary offer. So we started as a social media agency and then I had a podcast. So like we were editing in the house. My husband's an editor. So it was like, it all worked out. And then we had a client ask us, can you do this? And we're like, wow, okay. And this was right when these talking head videos became big, like right when people were starting to cut up their podcasts and make social reels. So we leaned in and now we have like the almost 20 podcasts that we work with where we do the full, you have a conversation, we kind of do everything else. But what's really important about it is that I think actually podcasting is like the most undercover community building tool out there. Because one, when you podcast for someone else, like when I'm on your podcast, like which I've been very lucky to be, I get to borrow your audience, right? Like the people who are listening to this, hopefully they'll come over and they'll check me out somewhere and they'll want to connect. And even if it leads to no business ever, the opportunity to just connect and be in each other's networks, that's amazing. The secondary part of it is like when you have a space that you own and you get to bring your mentors, people in your niche on, you're like renting the audiences of all those people. So for example, like I've been really lucky. I've had some of my own mentors on who have like 250,000 followers. And they'll post the reel, like, you know, or we'll do a collab post. And that's such a gift. And not only are those my ideal clients that they speak to every day, but it just has given me an opportunity to have a conversation with a mentor that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. They're probably not going out for coffee, right? Mm-hmm. So that space is so sacred for you to be building your community and building that authority. I always say, I'm like, I think podcasts are actually more for the host than they are for the listener because you get so much value out of it and in building that community. And my last point, and then I'm done, I promise, because I could talk about this all day, is that podcasting is so unique as a platform because people choose you. So it's so different than other social media, right? You're scrolling on LinkedIn, someone comes up, you're like, who is that? On Instagram, you're fed new people all the time. You're like constantly always being curated for you. podcasting, you're selecting the people. So other than the ads, if I want to listen to Life After Corporate, I'm choosing that. I want to listen to Build Your Digital Community, I'm choosing that. And they're choosing over and over again. And that's an intimate thing, right? Someone listening to you for an hour over a week.
It's very intimate. And it is a privilege and an honor to be speaking into someone's ear every single week. And so special to have you here, Christina. What is your podcast so people can follow you there as well?
Yeah, it's called Build Your Digital Community. So talk all about community building online and in person.
Lovely. It's been so great having this conversation. We could have gone on for an hour or more.
Told you.
About Yes, you did. You warned me. I was like, what are we going to talk about? And she said, me, I can talk for an hour on any of these topics. And it's, you know, building community and just really thinking about the people who follow you on social media as a community, engaging them in real conversation. You know, if you wouldn't say it if you were meeting them face to face, don't say it in social media. Don't spam people with links, but really look at their profile. Take the time. And I know it takes time. And so for solopreneurs and people who are just getting started, you have to block this time in your calendar. You have to put time aside to engage with the audience, because if you do this big campaign and you get a bunch of followers and then you don't serve them, then you're not really fulfilling on the promise of building a community or being of value. You can't be selling all the time. So thank you so much, Christina. It's been an honor to have you on the show.
My pleasure. And thank you so much for hiring me. And I'm so excited to have you on my show.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that as well. Well, that's it for now, my friends. Grab the links in the show notes to follow Christina Barthold and Social Snippet. She gave us a bunch of great gems today for how you can use your social presence to start really building and cultivating a community that is made up of your future clients. So that's it for now, my friends. We'll see you next time on Life After Corporate. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.